Welcome, everyone. We know your time is precious, so thanks for taking the time to come out of your busy lives to think about parenting and for doing all the juggling you have to do to join this Tara seminar. We hope to give you some fresh ideas that you can take home with you and try with your children around the topic of screen time. There were more than 100 people registered for this Tara seminar, and we don't know how many people will be calling in, but we're going to get started right now. And so I'll briefly introduce myself. My name is Usha Sangam, and I'm a certified instructor with Hand in Hand. I've been with Hand in Hand since 2005 or so, and I have a 16-year-old daughter, and I live in Cupertino, California. Kirsten?
Hey, I'm Kirsten Nottelson, and I'm calling in from Austin, Texas. I'm also a certified hand-in-hand instructor, and I've got two really busy, really active, really interested in screen time boys who are 6 and 12 years old, and I'm just really excited to be working on this topic and talking about it to you parents, and it was great to be working with Usha and Megan on this topic and really bringing some great thought together on it to, figure out what are we all trying to figure out about this and how does it work? And, it's really, it's a big topic for just about every, I do lots of teaching and just about every parent I know has some kind of issue around this topic. So I'm really excited that we get to lead it today.
Thanks, Kirsten.
Mm-hmm.
It's been fun working with you and Megan. Megan, mm-hmm. Want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, thanks, Usha. And yes, I want to echo that. It's great to be working with Kirsten and Usha on this. And I just want to welcome everybody onto this call. It's so great to have you with us and that we're all here together figuring this out. And I really hope you get something that you find useful out of today. My name is Megan Edwards. I'm in New South Wales in Australia. And I have an 11-year-old son. And yeah, I've been I'm a hand-in-hand instructor, and I have been for the last 4 years. And I've done I've had my own struggles around screen time with my son. So I just want to let you know you're not alone. there are many of us out there. And so I look forward to sharing some of the things I've learned around this issue with you today. So what we're going to firstly do is I just want to do a quick introduction. I think there's probably a few more people still coming on the call. So while they all get here, I just want to share a little bit about Hand in Hand. For those of you that are new, that maybe are coming to this for the first time, I just want to share a bit more about Hand in Hand and why they do what they do and what the principles of this approach are. So Hand in Hand is a non-profit organization based in California with instructors like Usha, Kirsten and I all around the globe. And the organization was started about 30 years ago by a woman called Patty Whipler. And Patty has wonderful insights and a beautiful thoughtfulness about the emotional needs of children based on many years of real-life experience. So Hand in Hand has a whole range of ways to support parents really well, which is one of its main aims. There's free articles on the website. There's the foundation booklets that I really encourage all of you to get off the Hand in Hand store and have a read about. There's other tele-seminars like this one that are available on the store. There's you can do a class, either an in-person class if you have an instructor near you, or you can do an online building emotional understanding class which you can access through the Hand in Hand website as well. The other thing you can get if you need a little bit more intensive support or just a bit of one-on-one is you can get a one-on-one consultation with an instructor, which can be really helpful. The other thing that's important for all of you to know is there's a fantastic online discussion group that supports parents all around the world on a daily basis with a very beautiful questions and great support for parents. There's also a blog with great success stories about people that are figuring this stuff out, and that can be very inspiring to go and have a read of some of those stories. But as I said, you can find all of these resources through the Hand in Hand website. So I'm just going to quickly talk about the key objectives of Hand in Hand and the founding principles. So the key objective is to nurture the very important connection of parent and child, which is why the approach is called Parenting by Connection. And this approach has four fundamental principles. And the first one is that connection is absolutely vital to the well-being of children. Being in good connection helps children learn well, it helps them build loving relationships, and it helps them adjust flexibly to whatever changes life brings. When this connection breaks, this is the second principle, when this connection breaks, children get disconnected and hurts go in. And when they're disconnected, often children aren't able to tell us, but they signal to us that they're disconnected through off-track behaviour. The third principle is that we can really help children heal from this broken sense of connection by listening to them. And Hand in Hand offers four listening tools for children, which helps children reconnect and heal from this hurt. And then the last and very important principle is that in order for parents to listen well to children on a regular basis, they need to be listened to themselves on a regular basis. And this helps them get the support they need to do the emotional work of parenting, because parenting is emotional work. It often isn't acknowledged in our society, but it is very important emotional work. So I encourage you all to become frequent members of the Hand in Hand community and to reach out for whatever support you need so that you and your child can really thrive on the deep love that you have for each other. So Usha's going to get us started. So thanks, Usha. I'll hand it over to you.
Thank you, Megan. So again, welcome everyone, and thank you for joining us for this topic. It seems that we have screens everywhere these days. There's televisions, DVD players, video games, desktops, laptops, notebooks, smartphones, iPads. They're just everywhere. They're in the workplace, in business offices, doctor's offices, coffee shops, in the schools, in our homes. I bet you had to use some kind of a screen to register for this teleseminar too. So, you know, our life seems to just revolve around screens these days. And it's become such a big part of our culture that our children just cannot imagine a life without screens. So we find ourselves thinking about this a lot. So you often hear conflicting stories around screen time and children. On the one hand, you read about the educational benefits of videos and TVs and computers. You hear about hand-eye coordination, language skills, math skills, reading skills, even social skills, and how that can all be improved with video games and educational software. But on the other hand, you hear about how it's really not very helpful for children. There's an article on the Mayo Clinic website where they talk about how you must limit a child's use of screen time to no more than 1 or 2 hours a day. And according to this article, too much screen time has been linked with obesity, with irregular sleep, with impaired academic performance, with less time for play, with behavioral problems, and with violence. And, you know, you can look up a number of different tips online on how to reduce screen time for children, and there's a bunch of tips on the National Institutes of Health website also. But Hand in Hand takes it a step further. There's an article on our website called Play, Empathy, and TV that recommends that parents keep children away from TV and videos and all screens until they are well into elementary school. And there's a lot of good thinking in that article, including the idea that we as parents need to limit our own screen time. I encourage you to read that article and make some decisions for yourself also. And you'll hear more about limits in Kirsten's section of the talk when she'll talk about that. So when we think about all the negative effects of screen time, it's really natural that we start to get worried about this a lot. We get worked up and we get triggered and we want to start wanting to immediately go in there and set those limits on our children right away. Stop right now. It's time to go and do homework. But, you know, our worries are not helpful to our children. If we go straight from our worries to setting strong and harsh limits on children without really taking time to take care of our feelings around this topic and then take the time to connect with them and listen to them well, it does not really work very well. It simply backfires. it's impossible for us to stay emotionally present and connect well with our children unless we first take good care of ourselves. It's the same reasoning with oxygen masks in airplanes. You have to put that on first before you put one on for your child. I know you can do a lot of things to take care of yourself in all sorts of ways, sleep and exercise and all that, but I'm going to now focus on how you can take care of yourself emotionally, your emotional needs as a parent. As parents, we hardly ever take the time to do that. We don't take time to pay attention to our needs, especially our emotions. It's really important to do this because it really affects how we parent. Hand in Hand offers a tool called Listening Partnerships. And with Listening Partnerships, you have two parents who make an agreement to exchange listening time with each other on a regular basis, say once a week or so, maybe for 15 to 30 minutes each way. And the type of listening that happens during a listening partnership is very different from the type of listening that happens in daily conversation, where you normally get interrupted and people exchange ideas. But this type of listening can be very, very powerful. Many of us grew up without having our feelings listened to well by our parents, who, despite their best intentions, really had a hard time doing so. And we can break these kinds of cycles with our children by making sure that we get listening time ourselves as adults so we can get a chance to have our feelings be heard. So this type of listening can actually help rewire our brains. There's a lot of neuroscience that supports this. And it can help us become more receptive, more open, more flexible, warm, loving, compassionate. So it's important we take care of ourselves through listening time. Listening time can help us get real good insights into our current reactions to people and situations. And with practice and with a really good listener, you can often make connections between your current reactions and your past experiences, especially experiences as a child. Dan Siegel describes this in his book, Parenting from the Inside Out, and he talks about how there's implicit memory locked away in our brains, which captures a lot of the emotional content from past experiences. This implicit memory is still present, but we often lose the details of the events, which is the explicit memory that was behind those emotions. But through the work of listening partnerships, we can start making connections between our current reactions and our past experiences and emotions and actually take the time to reflect on it also. And finally, we can make sense of our experiences and build a coherent narrative around them. And when we do that, with time, our own reactivity slows down, and we can be a whole lot more present with our children. And we have a booklet that describes how to do this type of listening. It's called Listening Partnerships for Parents, and I would highly encourage you to get this booklet because there's a lot of good information that I can't possibly share in the time that we have here that's in that booklet. But briefly, the listening needs to be done with warmth, with our full attention, with respect, with confidentiality, and without interruption or advice, and with the assumption that the person who's sharing really is competent and knows what they're doing, they'll figure things out. An experienced listener can actually guide the process so that the person who's talking can get to feelings quickly and stay with the feelings, and this type of listening can be very therapeutic. And the cool thing is that it's free because you're doing it as an exchange with another parent, so you don't have to pay huge numbers of dollars to therapists. So I really want to focus now on how you can use listening partnerships on the topic of screen time. So this is a really tough topic. It can bring up many, many big feelings for us, both from the present and from the past. So here's some questions to think about during your listening time as you focus on the feelings that come up for you around these questions. What was your introduction to TV like? How much TV were you allowed to watch? Who watched TV in your family when you were young? What happened to them and the rest of the family when they watched TV? What kinds of images were scary for you when you were a kid? What was the first video game that you remember playing? Were you reproached or humiliated or shamed for being in front of the TV? Did your parents spend a lot of time in front of a screen? Do you or your partner sometimes check out in front of a TV or computer? Do you or your partner have different views about this topic, about when, how much screen time is okay and when is it okay to do this? Does it give rise to conflicts? Does your child do a lot of texting or messaging? Is your teenager on Tumblr or Facebook? Or is your child playing video games or on YouTube a lot? Does your child have difficulty disengaging from the screen? Do you get the feeling that your children are numbing themselves to the pain, the emotional pain they might be feeling from whatever was happening in their lives by just going in front of a screen? Are your children getting aggressive with each other and having more conflicts with each other in front of or after being in front of a TV? What was scary for you and as a child? What was scary for your children? What images have been scary? At what age do you think they should have their own Facebook page? What about cyberbullying? What about internet predators? Are you starting to feel that your children are addicted to video games, Facebooks? What kinds of misconceptions did movies give rise to? Well, I remember as a kid, I came away with the impression after watching a big screen movie that a woman can get pregnant by simply touching a man's foot. And it was like stuck with me for a while, and it was so weird. What a strange opinion or impression to go away with. So anyway, we have so many worries, and there are so many big feelings that we can have around this topic, and we can get really freaked out. So I recommend, if you have any conflicts with your partner, for example, I recommend reading a couple of articles. One of them is called Partnering Well in Parenting, and the second one is called Parenting from Different Pages. They're both on our website, and they're great articles. So besides using listening partnerships to focus on your feelings around screen time, you can also spend a little time to notice positive aspects of screen time. What are your children getting out of using the technology? Perhaps they're able to use Skype to talk to grandparents. Perhaps there's a lot of laughter with friends by going on YouTube to see funny videos. Perhaps you'll notice that your kids are just fine and just wonderful and just having normal experiences that are in sync with today's cultural context, and maybe you don't need to set limits. So using your listening time to notice these things, to think about these things, can actually take the edge away from your fears and help you relax and become more flexible also with your approach to limits. We can also use our listening times to figure out solutions around screen time. For example, how do you set an example around your own screen time? How do you set limits without becoming too rigid around it so that children can avoid developing a craving for it in a way that's not healthy? How do you set limits in a way that makes sense from day to day? It could be different every day. We don't have to be consistent. What makes sense for one day may not make sense for a different day. Think about how much time is okay and whether your children are getting downtime. Think about whether you're connecting with your children, whether you need to spend more time doing that. Think about if you're taking good care of your body. You know, are you staying relaxed? Think about why your children are gravitating to the screen. Are they getting enough connection time with you? Are they overwhelmed with work, too much homework, social situations that are difficult? So you can use listening in all these different ways, and I know I've used it a lot, and it's really benefited me. I'm going to share a story about how I've used this listening with my own daughter, who's now 16. She's a teenager, and limits don't really work very well unless the limits come from the teenagers themselves. So if I propose a limit, my daughter has to be bought into it, otherwise she can become resentful or resistant. So a few months ago, she made a request in a very adult-like fashion, saying that she wanted me to stop limiting her internet time, and I was doing that using technology on my computer. She wanted to set limits for herself, and she persuaded me with good logic and reason, but she didn't really do a good job of setting her own limits, and it was very painful for me to watch her do this because it was affecting her sleep and it was affecting her work, and I had huge feelings around this. So I gathered up a few people with whom I did listening time very intensely for a while, and I focused on getting good sleep routines, exercise, and eating routines also. I know that if I don't sleep well, I get very crabby and irritable, and I'm really the worst parent around at that time, so I have to take good care of my sleep. So I sat there and watched her make all these choices that hurt her sleep and hurt her work and affected her emotionally, and it literally hurt me too. You know, those mirror neurons, dang them. She missed an important assignment. This was like a small wake-up call for her, and she realized that she needed to make some changes. So she agreed to my setting the internet limit again, and let's see how this goes. And I know that as she grows older, I'll be lifting that limit again so that she can have another chance at figuring out how to set that limit for herself. It's really a journey. It's a process of learning for both of us, and I know she'll figure this out. And at every stage, at every age, the way limits are set is going to be different, and Kirsten will talk to you more about that. But what I want to do right now is actually pass this over to you, Megan. So, hi, Megan.
Hi, Usha.
Megan will be talking about connection and how to build connection. Thanks, Megan.
Okay, thanks, Usha. So what I'm going to talk about, I'm going to talk about special time and play listening. That's the focus of my piece. But I just want to thank Usha too for highlighting just the importance of us getting the support we need so we can really do some good thinking around this, because it's not easy. So as I said, I want to talk about special time and play listening as a way to help manage screen time, you know, to actually use these as tools, management tools, and see them as management tools to help with this issue. The thing, what special time and play listening does really well is it helps build a connection with our children. And it's this connection that engenders a sense of cooperation and creativity and flexibility within our relationship. And what that can do is it can also lessen the need for limit setting because our children become more flexible and more cooperative when they feel more connected. So special time and play listening, they're the warm connectors that make setting limits clearer also and much more effective in helping our children with the feelings that are behind any off-track behaviour that they might be displaying, and whether it's off-track behaviour that makes it very difficult for them to get off the screen or creates, you know, sibling conflict around screens and those sort of things. So these tools are really powerful ways to build and rebuild safety, trust, warmth, and understanding into our relationship with our children. They help a child get a really strong sense that they're seen and felt by us, so that somewhere in their mind, they have a really strong sense that we are holding them in ours. When a child gets a regular dose of special time, and when I say special time, you know, it's easy for parents who might already use special time, you know, to get a little bit disheartened and a little bit exhausted, you know, around special time. So the special, I want to just highlight, you know, the special time I'm talking about is a special time that involves a really enthusiastic and delighted special time where a parent brings their whole loving self to that time and delights in their child and whatever the child wants to do. And when a child gets that sort of time, that really good time with a parent, where they get to direct the play and they know they have a set amount of time that they can do whatever they want to do with their parent, with that level of warm attention, then a child really gets to relax and remember that somebody's with them, reaching out for them and just loving them for the amazing people that they are. So this special time and play listening, I think they're a real contradiction to the isolation void that screens can create. And I think they're a really perfect anecdote. When a child's in really good connection with someone, they're much more willing to cooperate and to do the things like shutting their computer down when screen time is up or getting off the iPod when it's time to eat dinner or get their homework done. So every family is going to have their own guidelines about how much and when screen time is allowed. But whatever your values or whatever you think is appropriate, building connection is the most effective way to help manage the use of screens. And it works for children of any age. So I'm going to talk about play listening. And play listening is a tool that can be used at any time to bring more fun and delight into a relationship, any relationship, but particularly a relationship with our children. And it works best when we follow a child's lead in play. We follow whatever gets them laughing and we just keep doing that. And we let them take the most powerful role. And the other thing, play listening can be used when setting limits, especially when it involves diving in to help them out of that isolation that screen time can create. So I've come to use screen time, whether it's when my son's on the computer or whether it's when he's using his iPod as a bit of an off-track indicator. because what I see is that my son seems to really gravitate to using screens much more when he's feeling overwhelmed or upset and disconnected. I notice that it's at these times that he also finds it more difficult to cooperate with any limits about how long or when it's time to get off. And that's, you know, his signal to me that he's off track. So what I find is that playlisting around setting limits is a really helpful way of building connection with him at this time. So I've got an anecdote I want to share about how I use playlisting to set limits with him one Saturday morning. So we didn't have any plans this particular Saturday, so I was in a really good, relaxed space. I didn't have any agenda about what needed to happen or when it needed to happen. We could just hang at home. So it was a perfect morning for it. And this particular morning worked out. I had a work call that had gone on for way over an hour, and it happened quite early. And anyway, while I was on the phone, my son had been watching one of his favorite programs on YouTube, which he really loves to do. And when I finished my call, I let him know that it was time to get off the screen. I'd finished my call and I'd been on for way over an hour. Because we have an established 1 hour time limit on the screen. And it doesn't get fixed to 1 hour all the time. You know, it stretches out at different times, for different reasons. But we both try to keep it to that. So I let him know at this time. So I was really happy for him to watch the end of whatever he was watching, that particular piece that he was watching. But at the end, I really, you know, it was really time to finish up. So he watched the end of what he was watching. But when he finished that particular piece, he wanted to watch more and he wasn't willing to get off. And that's pretty unusual for him these days. So it was a clear signal to me that he was off track and needing some connection. And that was my cue to come in with some play listening. So instead of getting cranky or lecturing him or forcing him to stop by pushing his laptop screen down or any of those strategies that, you know, I have done at times when I've been really off track myself, what I did was I just moved in really warmly. I moved in with my body and I gently rubbed my head on his tummy because he happened to be on the floor sitting in the lounge room. And I moved in warmly and I said, come on, honey, it's time to get off. Come on, no more screen. And this really started us off on some fantastic wrestling play. And so we were up and moving around and wrestling in. He was moving in on me. And I was providing enough resistance and moving in on him and getting in close. And, you know, there was a bit of pillow throwing as well. What happened this morning was he really wanted to wrestle a whole lot harder than usual. But I was in a really good space and I was able to keep moving towards him with just the right level of attention that's good with play listening. And what that looks like is a sort of adventurous, sparkly, light-hearted, approach. I was giving him lots of clear signals that I was in a really good space, ready to listen to him and ready for some fun. So during that wrestle, he started in with some pretty harsh name-calling, ones that I'd never heard him use before. And it didn't take me long, but I realized that the names he was calling me were the same names that he'd told me some children had used at school during a physical fist fight that they'd had. And so that was a bit of a light bulb moment, and I realized then what he was working with and what he was needing some help with. Like, this had been a pretty unexpected and shocking event for him and his friends that hadn't happened at their school before. So it was really helpful that I had that information because I could realize what he was needing some help with, and it really helped me keep my warmth there. So I came in with lots of warmth and playful limits and more wrestling and cuddling with him, saying, no, you don't get to call me that. No, 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 no. And I was laughing and playing with him, you know, and he was in a bit of a hard space, so there wasn't a lot of laughter coming, but he was putting up a good tussle and that was helpful for him. So this went on for quite some time. And as it went on, he began to loosen up, and so a bit more laughter would come and a bit more lightness would come. And towards the end there, I was still in a good space, and so we did a bit of special time. We did half an hour special time as well. And what this did, what this playlisting and then this special time did, was it just warmed up our connections so well. And we just had the loveliest weekend together. We stayed in a really warm, connected space for the rest of the weekend. And he showed very little interest in screen time. He was much more interested in hanging out with me and doing the things we like to do together. So, yeah, I just wanted to share that. And, I hope it's helpful. And, there's one last thing I want to add, and that there's a whole lot of ways we can build regular connection with our children around screen time outside of these listening tools I've mentioned by just showing interest in the activities that they like to do on the screen. Like, it can be really helpful just to spend a bit of time every now and then to watch their favorite program on TV or YouTube with them, or spend time with them playing their favorite game. I find when I do this, I learn a whole lot about my son and what he's interested in. And so it enables me to stay in touch with some of the things he loves. And he loves telling me about the funny things he's watched and the characters he's interested in at the time and what's happened on the latest YouTube he might have watched. And he becomes so animated and engaged while sharing this with me. And it really just helps our relationship roll along. So for those of you that are new to this approach or are needing a little refresher, I really encourage you to go and get the booklets from the hand-in-hand booklets about these listening tools from the hand-in-hand store and have a read about them. They're very new and very meaningful ways of interacting with our children that contradict a lot of what we got raised with. So it can be really helpful to really just resource ourselves well to try this stuff out. And for those of you who'd like some more ideas around special time, there's a teleseminar. The next teleseminar coming up is going to be a great one on special time, and it's called Connect Before You Correct, Using Special Time to Build Cooperation at Home. So I encourage you to have a listen to that as well. Okay, so I hand you back to Usha. Thanks, Usha.
Hey. Do you want me to just jump in, Usha?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So, hey, Kirsten. Thank you.
Hey, Megan. That was wonderful. Thank you so much. What a well laid out description of how to connect and play. And So before I go on, I'm going to talk a little bit about how to set limits with our children around this topic. But I really want to emphasize, I think we can't emphasize enough how much these tools really work in conjunction with one another. You know, that many, many approaches or things that I've seen out there about, you know, how to help children with screen time is, or any kind of behavior in general that we see as off track, is a lot of these other approaches jump right to the discipline or right to the setting limits or what is the consequence that we should, you know, what's the appropriate consequence for this behavior or that behavior. You know, going right to how many minutes should kids get on the computer, or, you know, how many days a week, or, you know. But I really think what is so wonderful about the hand-in-hand approach is that we have these other steps that come before it. And that piece that Usha talked about getting listening time, that helps kind of undo your own tension and stress around screen time, helps us think more clearly, it clears up your attention. So you will have the ability to have, you know, flexible, rational thinking. You know, what one child needs in one family is not exactly the same as what another child needs in another family. So the listening partnership, listening time that Usha talks about is essential prior to this. And then also Megan's discussion about connecting, you know, and so your child feels safe. The safer your child feels, the more likely they're going to be able to listen to you and unload the big feelings that help them, that keep them from thinking clearly. So anyway, I just really want to emphasize that again, that, you know, using those other tools first is really essential. So we have, when we talk about setting limits here at Hand in Hand, we have a methodology, I guess you want to say, that we call listen, limit, listen. Listen, limit, listen. And what that means is that before we go in and set a limit, we listen first. We try to get an assessment of the situation. We move in close. We observe our child. You know, if if they can talk about it, we ask a child to talk about it. So whether they're hitting their brother or sister, whether they're, you know, watching way more TV than we've asked them to watch, whether they're, you know, writing on the walls, whenever they're doing a behavior that we see is somewhat off track, we first go in and listen. We listen with our heart, we listen with our eyes, we listen with our mind, we get an assessment of the situation. Where is our child at? Can they think? So I have one suggestion that I thought would be kind of interesting for people to try. If you have a pretty good history of this issue of screen time being really charged in your house, like if it's been lots of arguments about it, lots of intensity about it, you might try making a commitment to yourself that for the first week, you're just going to listen, which means you're just going to observe. You're going to take in the full scenario, and I'll tell you a little bit more about what things you can look for. You might want to notice that there's actually nothing urgent, you know, that there's no imminent danger. Your child is not at risk of, you know, I used to be a preschool teacher, and I had a very wise person say to me once, "Is there blood?" And I was like, if there's no blood, you have a minute to think about the best way to handle the situation. So with that thought in mind, you might just take a week to really, really get in there and observe what happens around screen time with your child. So, and even maybe write down some notes, because if you're really emotionally charged about it, you're going to have this perspective of how things are going that might not be the reality of how things are truly going. So some of the stuff you're going to look for is what's happening before your child engages in screen time. For example, what happened in their day so far? You know, did they, you know, are they experiencing some kind of emotional hurt, whether it's separation anxiety from a parent, whether they got in a big fight with a sibling, whether they got physically hurt? So that day, that week, what's happening in your family's life? You know, are there big changes? Has your child recently experienced a scary or traumatic event? What kinds of things have they watched on TV? I mean, one of the things that we need to be aware of is that, I think that Usha maybe brought up before, is that, you know, some of the things that fly by on the screen are pretty intense. I know that my son had to work through some issues about some ghoul that he saw just as a little advertisement on playing a game that I had approved of the game, but there was some ad that came on that had just a split second of a really scary image, and he really had to do some emotional work to undo that image. So what have they watched? What have they seen? Another thing that's really important to remember is I think that one of the things that happens with screen time is that, and I think this happens with adults too, when we're drawn to watch really intense, bloody, gutsy, gory shows, that I think there's a way that our mind is trying to go back and undo, like it's pulling us back to that to kind of fix that, to undo that. I'm not going to go into that at great length, but it's something for you to consider. I do a lot of teaching of parents of really young children, and I'm amazed at, you know, a lot of parents have had their kids watch movies like Chucky or, you know, really intense movies, and they say, well, they like it. And I'm going, let's think about what that means, like it. Are they engaged? Are they laughing? Are they looking relaxed and playful while they're watching this? Or are they just going back to it, you know? There's a lot of things we're drawn to that I wouldn't say we necessarily like or are good for us. What time of day are they more drawn to the screen? Is it first thing in the morning? Is it late at night? Are they trying to, you know, using screen time to stay awake because they're avoiding falling asleep? Is there something they need help with at night? What kind of incidents? When do you notice that they're, you know, more inclined to want to stay on longer? What kind of interactions have you had with them in the day prior to long screen time? Have you had a chance to kind of get on the floor and play with them or go out in the front yard and shoot some hoops with them? What kind of interactions have they had with humans that day? And then the listening to really what, like Megan was saying, just joining them and what they are interested in. Do they feel joined in it? You know, are you able to laugh with them about those funny YouTube videos? If they're playing with friends, are they all kind of glassy-eyed staring at the screen, or is there a lot of great interactions and talking about what they're seeing and coming up with inventive plays around it? Like some shows sort of initiate play that goes on and continues from there. So paying attention to what kind of interactions they're having, you know, with friends. And the other listening is also checking out with other parents. What is your child watching? I've been really surprised at some of the things that I found out that, you know, my children were watching that I did not know at other people's houses, and I thought I was pretty clued in, but so it's just good to have that conversation. So you listen first and you check out what kind of a limit needs to be set here. You know, what's going on? So the second stage, there's listen, you're gathering information, you know, gathering, you know, going on fact-finding missions, and then you limit. And the way you decide on your limit is what you found out in your listening. You know, so if you're able to do listening time with other adults, you're going to think clearer about what limit makes sense. I don't think we're here at Hand in Hand to tell you exactly what limits each of you needs to have within your home. First of all, there's so much new technology coming out every day that I don't think we could even cover all the different limits, you know, and we also have different ages, you know. What makes sense for a 6-year-old is going to be different for a 17-year-old. And then you've got cell phones and you've got Twitter and all kinds of things. So what we really prescribe here is you guys having your best possible thinking, where you're really getting supportive listener. So based on that, what you're going to do is make some decisions about what makes sense. And you want to engage your child in those discussions. And you might want to start your discussion with something to the effect of, because you want to be on the same side of the street as your child. I have a friend that I'm paraphrasing something that she said to her son, and it's something like this. It's my job as your parent to protect your heart and your mind. And I think, and it's also my job to think about what makes sense for you to watch, whether it's internet, TV, whatever. There are lots of people out there that are putting out information on the internet, on TV, who aren't really thinking about children's hearts and minds. That sometimes they're trying to put things out there that's really about how they can make the most money. And it's not necessarily in your best interest. It's my job to protect your heart, and so I want to figure out a family policy that makes sense for that. So then you go ahead and have I don't know how you go about your discussions in your family, but it might be sit down at a family meeting, and you say, okay, what's the limit? You know, what makes sense? There's a great article that Patty wrote called Play, Empathy, and TV. And I really encourage you guys to look on our website and find that under the articles link. And then from there, you can come up with policies. People have done things like, you know, during the week, you can do half an hour. On the weekends, you can do an hour. I have a friend who takes her, when children come to the house who have internet on their phone, if they're going to do a sleepover or a play day, she confiscates their phone until they leave, and she just lets them and the parents know ahead of time that, you know, at our house, we don't have access, our children don't have access, so I'm going to hang on to their phones. One of the Hand in Hand parents talked about, you know, they came up with an amount of time and they had little chips. In one jar said available, and the other jar said used, and there was two 15-minute chips that said computer 15 minutes and two chips that said TV 20 minutes. And then when she used them, she moved it over to the used jar. So each day she would be in charge of moving it over, and it reduced the power struggle, and she got to a point where she could self-regulate her own time. Some families have their children use their own personal timer. You know, so they can say, okay, I'm putting the timer for 30 minutes. Any way that you can empower your child in the decision making and the limit setting is going to really, it's going to it's going to improve their ability to feel confident. It's going to improve their sense of power. They're going to be more likely to be able to comply with those limits. And then there will be times when they will not be able to comply. And like Megan said, that's the time when you know there's something else going on. When a child isn't able to comply with a limit that you've set that makes sense, that's when you do the third step, which is moving in and listening, that you set the limit. We talk about bringing the limit rather than, you know, this isn't, we're in the other room and we're hollering saying, turn off the TV, I told you! If they can't turn it off, they're showing you they need a little bit of help, that they've got a bunch of feelings stored up that they need help with. So what you do is you move in the limit, move into limit, you will either sit next to them on the TV, on the couch, and put your hand on their arm and say, it's time to turn it off, sweetie. Or go sit next to them by the computer and say, it's time to turn it off. It's time now. And rather than going in and slamming it off, you're going to move in and do our third step, which is called listening. Again, and that's stay listening. And that's where you're allowing those feelings that have kind of gotten log jam for them, where they can't think clearly about, like, oh, this is a policy in our house, I'm going to turn it off. That's when you move in and you allow these big feelings to come out. If you can go at it playfully, like Megan was describing, I feel like that's the best avenue to try first, is being playful. You know, you can say things like, nope, it's time to turn it off, but you can have me. And, you know, they use the clicker and you're a TV show and you act out whatever TV show they tell you to act out. I have a dad that comes to my classes that plays a game called Not So Serious Theater with his kids. And each person gets to have a turn to be the director, and they tell everybody their characters and they play goofy games. So, but you move in, you set the limit, and then you allow those big feelings to come. And this is that stay listening that we describe in great length on our website and in our classes. And that's where you just are going to be present, be warm, be light, be loving, and you allow the big feelings to come out, which might for some children look like tears. For some people, it looks like a tantrum. For some people, it looks like really harsh words. I think Megan talked about her son using, you know, language that he maybe normally wouldn't have. That's really, really common for kids to, you know, if you have a child that says, I hate you, you're the worst mommy ever. Guess what? You are not the first parent that has ever heard that. And during listening time, we allow those feelings. We want our children to be saying those things. We want them to come out of their mind, out of their brain, so that they can think clearer on the other side. The harder it is for a child to turn off the screen when you've set the limit, the better indicator that they're showing you they need assistance. It's just a signal. That is what it is when they can't comply and can't agree with rational limits that you've set. So you move in and you listen, you be present, you stay there. It may happen that when you set the limit, they turn it off quickly and walk away from the computer, but 10, 15 minutes later, they are having that big upset, whether it's, you know, their cup is the wrong cup, or you're so stupid because you got them the wrong kind of shoes, or, you know, so you move in, you hold the limit, you don't cave, and you listen to the feelings unload. Again, that's a really shortened version of what stay listening looks like. But, you know, that's what we wanted to let you guys know in terms of the time we have for this teleseminar. I think what I'm going to do now is let Usha take over and do some time for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Kirsten. That was wonderful. Thanks for sharing. I shared all of that, those great ideas. Okay, I'm going to now spend a few minutes. We just have about 4 minutes, I think, for Q&A. I forgot. What we need to do is actually ask you all to raise your hand by pressing *2. If you have a question, press *2, and then I will unmute your line. Okay. All right, here we go. We have someone from Atlanta, Georgia. Yes? Hi.
Hi. Thank you. This is Kuyang Baumgarten. And my question is, what do you do? My son is 4.5 years old, and often for special time, he wants screen time, which I just can't handle screen time as special time, so I usually say no, and then I feel like I'm not letting him do what he wants to do.
Kristen, would you like to respond to this question?
Sure. Well, so I will say in general that during special time, we really, really try to follow children's lead. And so oftentimes children will ask for something where we are a little bit inflexible. So how I had it described to me, for example, like say in our family, we have a policy of no sugar whatsoever. So children might ask for sugar during special time. And the way I had it described to me was like, maybe during special time, they can have sugar. Or if it's that we never, ever let kids jump on the bed, well, we let them jump on the bed during special time if that's what they ask for. Hmm. So there's that piece. You know, so you might want to think of, like, individually in your home, how rigid are you about, I hate to use the word rigid, but, for, you know, I'm not using that in a critical way, but, you know, how strict is the policy around screen time? The other thing to think about is that the only thing he wants to do during special time? You know, so, you know, if you have a child that only wants to go to the store and buy Legos for special time, at some point you say, no, today we're not going to get Legos, or today we're going to stay home. You know, just lightly kind of veering it in the other direction. And he can have big feelings about not getting to get Legos during special, like that's what he could do. Your child could have big feelings about not getting much screen time during special time. I think it's about being flexible and kind of sharing our thinking with our kids. And then the other thing is that whatever it is they want to do during special time, if it's connected, so if you can do screen time and do it connectedly and animatedly where, you know, you're talking about what he's playing and, you know, you get to be a character, then it's, then, you know, that's a interactive special time. Does that help?
Yeah, great suggestions, Kirsten.
Okay.
And I just have one other thing to add, and if you're having really big feelings about it also, and that happens to a lot of us around screen time and other things that we find as stuck behavior you certainly want to undo with limits like some point mentioned. But if you're having some feelings, it's a good indication that perhaps you might want to take that to a listening partner yourself and work through those feelings. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, we have someone from Shokan, New York.
Yes, thank you.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Steven. I just quickly wanted to ask you, you were going down a series of questions that feels to me they would be good for me to take to a session, and I was wondering if you had them written down that you can email them or I can find them anywhere. I didn't catch most of them.
Sure. I'd be happy to email that to you, and if you send the email to usha@handinhandparenting.org, I'll be happy to email that list to you.
Great. Excellent.
Yeah.
I just want to thank you guys. You wonderful job, very articulate. I appreciate all the support.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. Thank you all for joining the Tala Seminar. We'll stay on for a few more questions. Just a reminder, if you have any questions, you can press *2 and we'll be happy to take your questions. We have one right now from someone in San Mateo, last 4 digits, 0750. So I'm opening up your line. Hi.
Hi, my name is Katie. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Great, perfect. Yeah, thank you so much for this webinar. That was really interesting to me. I have a teenager, which is probably a different situation than some of the younger children, but mine is 15, and it has been a long struggle to set limits with him, and now that he's actually bigger and powerful and everything, I try to build connection, I try to have some limits, and I'm like hitting a wall. I'm just, so I go with phases where I'm like, okay, well, I can't set limits. I'm just, I don't know what to do. And it's just, you know, I tried to tell him, okay, this is not good to spend so many hours on the computer, and I really think he's totally addicted to computers to a point where I cannot, I don't know what to do. So I don't know if you have any advice on that.
You're totally not alone in this. So the thing that I would recommend here is to get a lot of support for yourself. This is not something mm-hmm. that is easy to do without support. Parenting just in general is not easy to do without support. So the first thing to do is get a lot of support for yourself and just go in there and say, I don't know what to do, and just stay there with the feeling of, I don't know what to do. And get your listening partner to really be in there with warmth while you're feeling the sense of helplessness, of hopelessness about the situation. And then go into your fears about what's happening with your son. You're afraid that he's getting addicted. You're afraid that he's checking out and doesn't have a way to get his feelings out, and other things are not happening. This is sort of a very monotonous life that he's leading, and just get your fears out about that, about how he's not interested in anything else and what's going to come to him, you know, all of those fears that we end up having as parents when something like this happens. You've got to take that to your listening partner again and work with your listening partner to think, once you've gotten a lot of your feelings out, think about what he's watching and find a way to hang in there with him while he's watching it. Maybe he's watching something that you might find yourself interested in. You never know. And until you do that, then it can, you know, you won't really know how to connect with him either. So my daughter, for example, she likes watching Sherlock. She's a big Sherlock fan, and she likes watching some of the YouTube videos with John Green and Hank Green, and they're called Nerd Fighters, and there's a whole world of Nerd Fighteria. They're actually really funny. Once she introduced me to them, I ended up watching it with her. Some of these videos are really funny, and she gets huge laughs out of it, and I sit and laugh with her, and we have a great time. And when she's able to share that with her, so I'm not there setting a limit with her, and I'm not getting freaked out in front of her. I take whatever feelings I have about her time on the computer over to my listening partners, and when I'm with her, I try to just be interested in what she's doing. And even yesterday, I remember having to set a limit about her time, and she suddenly decided she really wanted to have more intimate time, and I really had to go in there and say, no, I'm sorry, sweetie, I can't let you do that right now. It's really, really late. And she found a way to work out her energy. She was just feeling a little energetic at that time. And she then came back and told me, you know, I really need to get a little work done. I said, you know, you can do this in the morning. But then she sounded so sincere at that point that even though I had set a limit around internet time, it was very clear to me. I could tell from her tone and the way she was, from her body language, that she was being sincere. And I ended up being a little flexible and allowing her to be on the computer, and I got her to make a verbal agreement with me that she would stay on just to get that work done and then go to sleep, because, you know, sleep can be an issue sometimes. So, yeah, just go in there, get your feelings out, connect with your child, enjoy what your child is doing on the TV, you know, and make, I know another parent who's with the teenagers talked about how one limit that they've said is that, okay, I'm not going to set any limits on your time, but I'm going to have you sit in the living room area where I can see you. And the child agreed to that. So the laptop was at the dining table or the living area where the mother would be around. And she would just occasionally go and ruffle his hair and just hang out and just be playful physically. And that made a big difference to their relationship also. And then things improved from there on. So does that help?
Yes, in some ways. The thing is, it seems like a lot of boys want to go into violent games, and I tried several years ago. I said, well, I'm not allowing violent games in my house, and I was just, I blocked them and unblocked them, and he's extremely tech-savvy, so we try to put all kinds of blocks and nothing works. It makes it worse. So, you know, the thing is, for me, I cannot relate to any of the games he plays because It's just not something I'm interested in. And my husband tried to actually do that. He relates a little bit to that. But my son just refuses to get him to get, he doesn't want anybody to get close to him or try to engage online with him. He just mm-hmm. refuses it.
Mm-hmm. So Megan or Kristen, do you have anything to add?
Well, okay, sorry.
Yeah, you
go,
Kristen.
Megan?
Go ahead.
Look, I've only got one piece, and I'd love to hear what you've got to say as well, Kirsten. But I don't know. The thing that came to me was having a time, making a time with him, and Usha's already mentioned this in Kirsten, but making a time outside of when he's on the screen where you're in a good space together to come together and have a bit of a meeting, a family meeting around it, so you all get to talk about your concerns or what's happening and what feels like a reasonable limit or a reasonable way to manage the situation that he gets to have a say in, and he gets to air what's important for him around this and why he loves it so much and what he needs out of this, and that just as a way, you know, to make a start. And the other thing was there's a great booklet on supporting adolescents, and I don't know if you've already read that, but that's on the in the store as well, but I really encourage you to, you can get a PDF of that, and that's
mm-hmm.
really useful
yeah.
in terms of
yeah,
listening.
I have it.
And
I have it.
Great, good. Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Yeah, I've read it, I think, 3 times now, so.
Good,
I keep reading it.
good, that's the way, great. Good on you. Good on you for all your hard work for your boy. And Kirsten, I'd love to hear what you had to say.
Well, just I guess my question would be, you know, what do you know that he that's outside of screen time? What is something that you guys do together that he really enjoys, that's fun for him?
Yeah, well, we are in a space where there's nothing. I mean, it's our situation is a little different from other people because he's Asperger, borderline Asperger, so that makes it a little bit more complicated. And his passion is computer gaming, and he's actually really good at it. So that's a thing, but he's extremely focused on that, so it's hard to do anything. So I try, he likes to go out sometimes and eat, so we go together and try to do that, so that's always good. I've done a lot of work trying to build connection and not being, that was really helpful when you said, you know, be flexible and, each time we tried to set limits without connection, that never worked and that made it extremely, extremely difficult around the house. So, I learned my lesson, so I know not to do that anymore. but the thing is to deal with, how to still, you know, how to get him to understand he has to set a limit for himself. So, I mean, that's the key. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually setting limits on his brother or even on myself because I work from home. So he sees me on the computer a lot. And he says, oh, no, you know, you should go to bed now. So he's funny. He likes to do that. He likes to set limits for others. But for him, he actually doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
For himself, he doesn't. So.
I think you're thinking so well about this. And there's something that I'd like to add and encourage you to do if you would, is sometimes my son will play things. He's got a bit of a play around combat that over the years I've found really challenging. And so I've spent quite a bit of time, you know, like, I don't want to play that. So I've had to spend a bit of time in my listening partnerships talking about how much I hate that sort of play and how I don't want to do it and my concerns about him. You know, what's going to happen to him if he keeps doing that? So...
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if I really encourage you, if you would like to, is to maybe just explore a bit of what's stopping you going in and playing that with him, you know, in your listening partnerships as well. What you hate about those games and as a way to try to, you know, move that sort of block out of the way so you can maybe find a way in. Like, there might be just one game that you might be able to play, and you might ask him. You might say, look, I really want to connect with you around this, and I'm trying to work this out, and can you suggest anything that we could play together that you really love that you think I might be able to just cope with? And he might have something there that
mm-hmm.
that you could do.
That's a great advice, yeah.
Finding the way in, finding a little way in where you get to build a bridge with him. And if that, you know, if that's what he loves, you know, he wants you there with him. He really wants you in there with him playing, you know, loving what he loves, you know. And so the, if you can find a way to move away some of the blocks that are getting in the way of you doing that, that would be really helpful. And I've just had a parent in a group I've run who's got the same issue with her son, and I really hear how hard it is, but she's really made some great gains in going in and doing, you know, just even a little piece, even 10 minutes, just going in with him and playing with him around this.
I have one last thing to just say, a sort of a general guiding principle about setting limits, about wanting our children to make some changes in how they behave or how they are. And this is that I think it's much easier for them, for any human being, think about ourselves. I don't think I would want to change something about me if somebody was trying to force it on me. And so I would much rather have it come from within me. I'd rather change when I know that I'm really fully accepted by someone who is loving and kind. So if you're able to, your son will make changes when it's the right time for him. But in the meantime, if you can be as accepting as possible, and to do that, one has to take those feelings to a listening partner. But, you know, by doing that, you'll end up feeling a lot more accepting of him. And he will start to feel that. He will recognize that you hold him in your heart. And that once you do that, he will start to feel more accepting of himself. And once that happens, he's going to be in a much better place to make the changes that he thinks that he knows he needs to make some changes, and people know this inside them. They just have a stuck feeling inside them. So these changes will happen. In the meantime, as much connection as possible, as much acceptance of a human being. You know, we all thrive when we're accepted. So that's really the general message I wanted to share.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm not sure if we have time for one more question. Kristen and Megan, do you think we should stop here, or do we have time?
I'm happy to keep going for a last one. Yeah.
Okay. One last one. And so we have someone from Redondo, California. Hi.
Hi. First of all, thank you for a great seminar. This just hit the nail on the head for me. My question is actually mostly a statement, but what I'm looking for is more commentary from you on the subject, and it's actually a good segue to what you were just saying to the last question. One of the things I really liked hearing on this is using, you know, screen time almost as a platform, as a jumping off place. I know a problem that I've had, and I think other parents have too, is it becomes a, okay, I'm setting this limit. It's a very kind of cut and dry, very abrupt sort of thing. And what I'm trying to do with my child, as I think most of us involved with Hand in Hand, are trying to take more of a gentle approach, more gradual approach. And in listening to you today, it made me think about some of the things that I've done, but I'd like to do better, which is, you know, maybe using some of the screen time, maybe using it even as a way to get closer. For instance, I will notice it when my child sees, he's nine, sees, you know, watches a program or something on YouTube, he will go out and he'll build what he saw in Legos, or he'll be, you know, acting it. And I've also tried to spend time talking to him about what's going on. So it's an interaction. It isn't just a zoning out in front of the TV or whatever that he's looking at. So I'd be interested to hear more commentary from you, just to give thoughts and ideas and that sort of thing about things we can do to actually use, you know, this time or these platforms as a way to get closer, because I do think it's possible, and not everything bad on TV or on YouTube or in video games is bad. There are some good messages out there that I think can be used. So I'd be really interested to hear more commentary and ideas around that.
Sure. I'll take a little of that. This is Kirsten.
Do you want to Kirsten, you want to start, and then I have some thoughts too. And
sure.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Good question, Steve. And I think that really it's something we all need to be talking about and asking ourselves about, because the reality of the environment that our children are going to be moving into, that they are in, that they're growing up in. I mean, my children can do things on computer that I don't know if my brain will ever figure out how to do. And to them, they don't even think twice about it. Really more my 12-year-old than my 6-year-old. But, you know, there are things that my 6-year-old, when he gets a little older, will be able to do that, you know, he will always grow up around self. Like, you know, it's part of his world. So our children are exposed to things and technology that they will take for granted, that to us is like this new, oh, my gosh, there's all this heat for us around it. Like, yeesh, what is this stuff? And it's going to rot their brains. And, you know, the boob tube. We always heard the boob tube when we were kids. So if we could think freshly about it, you know, if our child had a really cool comic book they were interested in and they were laughing about it, and boy, we couldn't get their nose out of this book because they really, really wanted to read it, I don't think it would have the same heat that, you know, that screens do for us. I'm just going to keep going back to that. The more we get listening time, the more freshly we'll be able to think about what actually makes sense. What are our children doing? What are they spending their time doing? You know, are they checked out, or is this really a thing of interest that they're going to be able to build on and, you know, learn something from? And, you know, I do think that just the more relaxed we are, the better we're going to be able to think, the better they're going to be able to come to us and say, you know, Dad, I feel kind of funny after I'm on the computer for more than an hour. I feel kind of weird. I feel kind of, you know, sluggish and depressed. Or, wow, I noticed the other night I couldn't sleep really well after I watched such and such. You know, they're more likely to be able to come to us with and think with us, you know, together about what makes sense for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hope that answers your question.
Yeah. I have a few more things to share too along those lines of, you know, what can you do with your child. It's a sort of a platform from which you can spring off, you know, and build on. Back in 2008, when the presidential elections, with all the campaigns happening, my daughter and I ended up watching a lot of the news at that time together, and that was a learning process for her. She really learned a lot about politics and about government and how that all works, because she and I watched the news together and we had a lot of discussions, and now she has very clear political ideas, you know, how she's leaning and all that. She really has thought through very deeply, and she's got a lot of ideas on social justice, and that's because we watched some of the news together and we read certain blog posts together, and, you know, she's really grown a lot because of that. So I totally understand what you're saying, with this is a platform on which you can actually build a lot of ideas. And now she's taking classes in political science, which is really amazing that she wanted to do that. That surprised me when I first heard her talk about that. So, you know, there's ways in which this can be a platform and it can be helpful. We just have to be careful in making sure that it doesn't become something they zoom out on. And you're absolutely right in that we can use this effectively. Yeah.
If I can qualify slightly, I mean, when I said platform, I was thinking, and this is all really good information that you're giving me. One of the other things that I meant when I said platform is, as a platform to help you get closer to get
mm-hmm.
connected better with
absolutely.
Your child. And this is kind of maybe this is a better way of asking the question, is that what I'm beginning to notice, and I'd like a verification or not verification if I'm wrong about this, is that it seems that as you do set limits, that it's better to kind of do this sort of gradual, gentle way of doing it rather than just setting some sort of limit, which I know I've been guilty of, and I'm sure other parents have too, and I'm trying to change that. Because to me it seems like sometimes, you know, you'll get feelings either way, and the child will get to, you know, difficult feelings either way. But to me, the more gentle methodology of it tends to work better than, you know, because part of what they're reacting to when you just set this hard limit is just the suddenness of it and the, you know, and the coldness and the hardness of it, even though you may be trying to do it in a gentle manner. And so that was part of what I was, I think, trying to get to, too, because I'm just, you know, learning how to do that better, or I'm learning the impact of it, and I'd be interested to hear more about that, you know, hopefully to help, you know, get some guidance.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's really great that you're trying to be really conscious about how you're setting those limits. You're absolutely right. Doing it suddenly and harshly can feel very cold and can create a disconnect. So it's wonderful that you're trying to work through it in a gentle manner. It is important to be firm with limits, though, and yet reasonable. And it's also important to be flexible, where that makes sense. The crux here is really connection and wanting to be sure that you've taken the time to connect with your son before setting limits. And it sounds like you're already doing a great job with that. And going back to what you were saying about using screen time as a platform to connect, you're absolutely right. You can use this as a platform to connect. And your son is lucky that you're doing this with him. So it's great that he built Legos based on what he saw or acted out what he saw on the screen, and that you took the time to connect with him about it. So thank you for sharing that. And yes, in my daughter's case too, a lot of her views on society have grown since the time that we started watching the 2008 elections. And we've spent a lot of time connecting and sharing our thoughts and feelings about society and government and politics. And she really has begun to have a clearer idea about who she is and what she wants to do in this world. And I've really gotten to know her through this process. So, yeah, watching the news and TV has created a platform through which we could connect about the world and about herself as a human being. So, yeah, that's a great point. Thank you for sharing your thoughts about using screen time as a platform to connect. And at this point, we're going to stop with the questions.
Lucia, do you want me to go over the closing remarks?
Yeah, go ahead and do the closing.
Okay, so what I just want to do is let you guys know about some of the other resources that are available here with Hand in Hand. There are several Building Emotional Understanding classes coming up, and really the Building Emotional Understanding class is really the crux of our curriculum here at Hand in Hand. It's a six-week class online where you'll get a chance to watch videos of Patty describing the tools, encouraging you to try out new stuff during the week, giving lots, like bountiful amounts of examples of how these tools work for families. And then you'll also get a weekly hour-and-a-half mentoring call with one of the instructors, including myself, Usha, and Megan, and material to read. And there's also a discussion group that comes along with that class. Really useful. It's really changed some people's lives, including mine. I mean, that's part of how I got started with Hand in Hand 12 years ago. And it's just really dramatically changed my family's life. I wanted to mention that Usha has the next class coming up. It'll be Thursday starting June 28th. Then I have a class on Tuesdays that starts July 3rd. Megan's next class will be on Wednesday starting July 18th. Then I have a class that starts August 2nd on Thursdays, Megan August 8th on Wednesdays. There's also a self-directed class called No More Hitting that has videos online that you watch and then material that you read. And I think along with that comes a discount for our consultations that Megan talked about. Consultations are 1 hour chunks of time where you get to call and talk individually with members of the Hand in Hand staff, including I think all three of us do it. I know Usha, Megan, do you do consultations?
No, not through Hand in Hand. No.
Okay.
Not yet.
Okay, she will be. We're getting her there soon, I bet. So Usha and I do the consultations as well as other members, and all of that you can find on our website. And there's a lot of teleseminars coming up. Megan mentioned the next one that's coming up is about special time. I just want to reiterate these three messages. The first is building support for yourself. You know, getting somebody who you care about, who cares about you, who isn't going to judge you, to share equal listening time with you. It's not about giving each other advice. It's not about saying, this is what I think you should do. We have found that just the simple act of somebody listening with full attention, warmth, and connection moves mountains. It really is very helpful. So that in itself is our first. Then the connecting with your child through play, joining them where they're at, noticing what they're interested in, special time, that's how you connect with your child. And then the third part is the setting limits, which is the part that I described, where you move in and you set a limit that you've all agreed on as a family. And you allow your child to have big feelings if they need to about that limit. So I think that's kind of what I wanted to cover in terms of closing. And I'm really, really grateful for you all showing up and being here and taking time out for your day. And we sure hope it was helpful. And thank you for being there.
At closing, yeah. We are so glad that you were able to join the teleseminar today. Megan and Kirsten and I really enjoyed being here today with you all. You've had some wonderful questions. And we really appreciate your taking the time to come and join us today. This is not an easy topic for anyone. We've all struggled through it. And so we're all thinking through this together. So thank you once again for joining the teleseminar. Bye.